on a mic. Right. Am I coming through?
Yeah.
Okay. Trying a couple of new things for me. One is preaching with notes. So bear with me as I like to go a little bit more flexible. The other thing is I'm making a resolution not to be so intense. So I don't have any dollar bills to throw at you, but you can all beat me if I like get so wrapped up in it that I'm losing everybody. Yeah. What? All right. So that is really loud. Oh, well. You want to go with the first one? It's not? It's just odd to hear yourself. So, most of us, if not all, have seen Forrest Gump. And we all know Forrest spends the whole rest of his life basically obsessed with this gal. He cannot get past the fact that he is just madly in love with her from the day he sees her. And as I was preparing for this message, I was thinking about the idea of obsession. That was where Forrest came. Forrest goes and he is totally devoted to Jenny, no matter what she does. He's like totally after her. His whole life is centered around her. And when I was reading the first chapter of Romans, I started to see the same thing in Paul. I'm just going to start in verse 1 here. He says, now, I need to rewind. This is his introduction to his letter to the Romans. And in ancient times, what you would do is you would say, this is who I am, this is who I'm writing to, and then some sort of a greeting or a blessing or something like that. So Paul is supposed to say, from Paul to the Romans. Instead, he does 7 verses to introduce himself. He says, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, regarding his Son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the whole Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him and for his namesake we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus. No. Yes. It's like, right at the bit, he's like, right. I'm just supposed to be introducing myself. So he goes on, settles himself. He says, to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm looking at this, and Paul is an excitable guy. Paul is a guy who runs after the thing that God puts in front of him. He's intense, he's focused, and he can't get himself off the idea of God. You look at, he says to the Corinthians that he went there to Corinth, and there were all the wise philosophers, and he resolved to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. I've always had a problem with that passage, because how do you do that? Really? I mean, you know your name. If you are able to converse, then you know the language. But there's something about Paul just saying, at least at that point, he was perfectly content knowing and speaking about nothing but Jesus Christ. That's an obsession. It's an imbalance. It's not logical and sensible. And so I've always struggled with him, particularly with that passage. I would just discount him. And I'd say, all right, Paul, that's great for you. That's kind of who you are. But, Ecclesiastes, there's a time and place for everything. And you've kind of missed the boat here a little bit. Oh, I hate it when I stall. So anyway, so that was my initial status. Going before God, I thought I was reasonably decent, You grow up in the church, you do the things that are good. Not necessarily obsessed with it. In fact, I used to say specifically, I don't want to be obsessed with Christ, I want to have a more balanced life. The thing is that we are called out to be more than that. Can you get the second one?
It was the happiest time of my life.
So this is the call. This is what God did with me. I went before him throughout my life and was constantly hearing him say, what you do is good, I'm glad that you have all these good things that you do. But you still have things that you hold out from me. You look at, I'm obsessed with my computer, particularly computer games. I was obsessed with my girlfriend at the time. In fact, I tend to obsess with Emily still. You deal with things like, are you going to be on time to people, or to meetings you've had with people? How are you going to deal with pornography? How are you going to deal with all of the different things that I was struggling with? And God says, okay, fine. You're not going to obsess with me. That's fine, but what you're doing is not enough. And so there I was left with, okay, Lord, well, fix it. You know, I'll submit to you, but my heart doesn't really want to work here. I don't really want to go in deeper. I don't want to risk becoming obsessed, but I don't want to risk losing relationship. Jenny's confronted with that same thing here. She loves Forrest, and she stated that before, but Forrest confronts her with the fact that you don't love me the way I love you. I am obsessed with you. I am committed to you. I've thrown it all out in front of you. Why don't you love me? Paul says that in the next section of Romans. Now he thanks and he appreciates who the Romans are. He's never been there, but he knows about them. He says that first, I thank God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness how I constantly remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. He's saying, I know you love God. I know you are interested in him. I know you follow him. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. Now this, every time I read it, I'm shocked by it, because it's not politically correct. It's not a thing you would normally feel comfortable saying to someone you've only heard about and you don't know. He presumes to say that I can come and I can give you some spiritual gift to make you strong. He's saying, now he does say that, oh, he's like, well, wait a minute, we need to be mutually encouraged. But there's this assumption that Paul says that there is something that God has built into my life, some choice, some attitude, some knowledge, some ability that I want to pass on to you. And so all of these commendations are, there's this implicit, you are good, I appreciate you, but there's more. And so you go on. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had amongst the other Gentiles. A harvest among you is a harvest of converts. So this guy is assuming that he can go into a city where the church already exists, where the church is already well known and strong, and he's going to have a harvest among them when he comes. Now he is an evangelist. That's his gift. But he's saying there's something to add here. I'm obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I'm so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. For in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. This was the keystone verse to me when I was looking at this. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. And he's been commending the Romans throughout these passages. These are all the good things that you're doing that I understand. Why doesn't he say, we are not ashamed of the gospel? He says, I am not ashamed. And what I believe is that he's trying, quietly, subtly, to say, if you are not obsessed with God the way I am, if you are not committed to His work at the same level that I am, then you are ashamed. Now, that's not because Paul is perfect. It's not because Paul is some great person. But he's acknowledging the fact that there is something more for them to come to. That he's suggesting the possibility that obsession might not be a bad thing. See, in my life, it was the same thing. As I went through more and more things of, you want to deal with this sin, and then you start talking about the simple thing I'm trying to do right now. Got my obsession with the computer, right? Always gets in the way. So what I'm trying to do for my own life is I say, okay, I won't do anything recreational on the computer until I've done my Bible studies for the day. And the Bible studies, God is going to tell me when I'm done with it. Do you have any idea how difficult that line is to hold? That as much as I think that I have these great righteousness and all these things that I do, I can't hold to that simple line. I'm more interested in going to the computer than I am in going to God. What am I obsessed with? What is my real ruler? What is my real God when I come here? And so can I say with Paul that I am not ashamed of the gospel? Well, does my life prove it out? It doesn't really. When I think about sharing with somebody at work, I'm terrified because I am ashamed of the gospel. I'm ashamed of what the gospel's impact on me is going to be, not in my own life, but in how people see me. And so I went through this, and I've been for a number of years saying to God, you know what? I don't love you that way. I don't particularly want to love you that way. I mean, that's the honest thing. I don't want to give up my comfortability. I don't want to give up who I am and who it's easy for me to be, but I know that I need to. And so that was in my life of making that prayer, God, I want you to change my desires. God, I want you to make me love you the way you want me to. And Jenny, through the movie, goes through that, of this constant confrontation of, this is what's comfortable, but this is what I need to be. I wanted to fast forward onto a couple other passages in Romans that Paul talked about. This is Paul talking about his struggle with sin. And that Paul saying that I am obsessed with Christ, but it's not an easy thing and it's not a complete thing. So chapter 7, verse 7, he says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. Indeed, I would not have known what sin was except through the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was unless the law had said, do not covet. But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of covetous desire. For apart from the law, sin is dead. Now, what he's doing is he's going from the sake of the Old Testament law. He's saying God sets up a standard. It doesn't create sin. It doesn't cause us to sin. But when God puts up the standard, it's really easy to see when we don't live up to it. And so when I read Paul, and he says that I resolved during that time to know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified, Paul is setting up a standard. It's a new law. It's a law for us. This is how you need to live your life. This is the balance. I've met with Eric a lot, okay? I didn't ask for permission on using you, but I don't think. Listening to him is a challenge to me because he is devoted. Not perfectly. He's not sinless. Not anybody like that. But he is devoted. And so when I look at him and he made a standard where he said, I'm going to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and pray. And I thought about that. I wouldn't be willing to do that. So now it's not a matter of an abstraction of Paul calling me out. It's my friend saying, this is what you could be. Anyway, I want to move on to the third clip. Comes up so slowly.
Is my very good friend, Mr. Gump? Can you say hi to him? Hello, Mr. Gump.
Hello.
I don't know what's getting you.
You're a mama,
Jim. I'm a mama. Name's Ford.
Like me.
I named him after his daddy.
You got a daddy named Forrest, too?
You're his daddy, Forrest. Look at me, Forrest. There's nothing you need to do, okay? You didn't do anything wrong. Okay? Isn't it beautiful?
It's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
So that is where we're headed. That's where God wants us to head anyway. That Jenny had gone throughout her entire life. She had looked for everything she could that would be easier than Forrest. She'd gone after other men. She'd gone after drugs. She'd gone after alcohol. She'd done everything she could to find something that required less commitment. Something that would fill her up without it. And she comes to the end of her life. She's dying and she says, this is where I should have been right from the beginning. She gives in to the obsession. She becomes obsessed with Forrest just like he has always been obsessed with her. That's where I find myself just beginning to come. I'm not saying I'm at all there. But I start to feel the first rumblings of it, of this thing, of this prayer that I've asked for so long. God, make me want you, even though I don't. I start to feel it. And I don't remember when it happened. I don't remember how it started to happen. But you start to feel the first rumblings of it. Where now I go and I say, maybe Paul's obsession is not a bad thing.